This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiru wa nastahdih. ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وأسوتنا وقائدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا يا رب العالمين وبعد. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First of all, it's an honor and it's a privilege for me to be here in your midst today. Alhamdulillah, we praise and we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I would like to thank the organizers of today's lecture, the Rashadi Foundation who invited me, as well as the masjid here and the imam and the committee members for facilitating this program, and all of you for attending and taking out your very precious time on a Saturday evening. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to say that which is beneficial for myself, for you, and put it into practice and bring about some good understanding of deen and that we implement it in our life. Ameen. Topic we have today: marital and family disputes, causes and solutions. I have a few points that I want to cover, 4 or 5 points. I will talk about the causes in about 5 points, and then inshallah each point mention the solution. Our deen, Islam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, it's a way of life. It's not just a religion, it's a complete way of life. It's a unique way of life that has teachings, guidelines, rules, advices, injunctions to do with every aspect of our life, from the moment we wake up till the moment we go to sleep. Every point of our life, there is Islam, there are Islamic guidelines, there are Islamic rules. Islam is not just about a few forms or modes of worship, what we call ibadat. In some other faiths, you might have that. Certain celebrations, certain rituals, certain times of the year when you go to the place of worship and you spiritually sort of meditate, and that's about it. Whereas in Islam, it's a comprehensive way of life. The teachings of the Quran and Sunnah deal with every aspect of our life. So we have ibadat, which is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worship is just one category. Prayer, fasting, zakat, hajj, umrah. These are all rules, or these are all issues relating to worship, ibadat. That's just one branch of Islam. And then we have another branch of Islam, which is known as mu'amalat, business and financial transactions. That's a branch on its own. Islamic laws and guidelines deal with a lot with how a Muslim acquires his or her wealth, inheritance laws, financial laws. Many books and books have been written. The Quran and Sunnah are filled with verses. You know the longest verse in the Quran, if you ask some of the scholars here, which is the longest verse in the Quran? What does that longest verse talk about? Does the longest verse in the Quran talk about how to perform hajj, how to do umrah, how to pray salah, how to give zakat, how to fast, how to eat suhoor and iftar? Or is it about charity? The longest verse in the Quran deals with credit transactions. The Quran says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا تَدَايَنْتُمْ بِدَيْنٍ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمًّا فَاكْتُبُوهُ. O you who believe, when you take a loan, write it down. وَلْيَكْتُبْ بَيْنَكُمْ كَاتِبٌ بِالْعَدْلِ. Allah goes into extreme detail of how to do a small credit transaction. Who should be the scribe? Who should write it down? When will you take this money? When will you pay it back? All the details are mentioned. When it comes to worship, the Quran is very limited. The 5-time prayers have just about been mentioned in the Quran, just the names. There are no details of, there's nowhere in the Quran the mention of 2 rak'at of Fajr. We offered 3 rak'at Maghrib, nowhere in the Quran Allah says, ثَلَاثُ رَكْعَاتٍ لِلْمَغْرِبِ. There's nowhere. 3 number for Maghrib has not been mentioned in the Quran. Likewise, the rules of fasting, Quran is very limited. Hajj and Zakat and Umrah, the Quran is very limited. But when it comes to the second category, Mu'amalat, financial transactions, and also the third category, which is Mu'ashara, and that's our topic today, Mu'ashara. Mu'ashara means social etiquette, social laws, social rules, social guidelines. A human being is a social animal. We all live with one another. There are details. The Quran goes into details in terms of how to live with one another. How to live with one another as family members, as husband and wives, as spouses, as family members, as relatives, as cousins, as human beings, Muslims, non-Muslims. There are detailed laws in the Quran that talk about this category of mu'ashara. And then we have another category, which is tazkiyatul qalb or akhlaq, which means the laws relating to the heart. So Islam is a comprehensive way of life. We learn about ibadat. We have to be a complete Muslim. We can't just be a partial Muslim. We can't be a quarter or a half-time Muslim. We have to be a complete Muslim. The Quran says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا دُخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً. O you who believe, enter into Islam completely, totally, fully, comprehensively. Allah said to the people of the Banu Israel, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Do you take parts of the book and discard other parts? Do you take some portions of the Quran, of the book of Allah, and leave other parts? Enter into Islam completely. Act upon the laws of ibadat. Also act upon the laws of mu'amalat and financial transactions. You can't just be a Muslim just praying. You can't be a Muslim just fasting. Muslim is not just someone who restricts their Islam to just hajj, zakat, umrah, fasting. A Muslim has to be a comprehensive Muslim. The way he or she acquires his wealth has to be and must be in line with Islamic guidelines. Otherwise, the wealth income is unlawful, it's haram. And there is no reward in any charity and the whole lifestyle becomes unlawful. Likewise, we have the third category, which is mu'ashara, social laws, social etiquettes. Numerous ayat and ahadith of the Quran that talk about great emphasis on social cohesion, great emphasis on family ties, kinship, known as silatul rahim, maintaining ties. The word in Arabic is rahim. You know, you've heard of the word rahma. Rahim is also known as the womb. The womb of the mother in Arabic is rahim. Silatul rahim, maintaining ties, especially between family members, because these family members are connected to one womb. And the opposite of that is qati'atul rahim, which is breaking of ties, cutting of ties. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith, he said, la yadkhulul jannata qati'u rahim. The one who breaks ties, qati', the one who breaks ties shall not enter paradise. La yahjuru ahadukum akhahu fawqa thalath. This is a hadith sound in Sahih al-Bukhari. None of you should leave talking to your brother or sister, you can add, more than 3 days. Faman hajara akhahu fawqa thalathin famata dakhala an-nar. Whoever deserts their fellow brother more than 3 days and they die in that state shall enter hellfire. May Allah protect us. And I'm sure, mashallah, here I'm in Trinidad, I don't think you even need this topic, because I've been here for just one first time. This is the first time I've ever come to Trinidad. I've been to Barbados before, but first time here. And I've spent just one day. I came last night. I'm here one day, another 2 more days, and I have to go. So in one day, I've seen, mashallah, generally people are very good in their manners and akhlaq and character. So I don't really think you need all of this. This is all we in the UK need, because people's, you know, moral ethics sometimes are not in line with Islamic guidelines. But generally, you know, people seem very good here, so I'm sure this is just a reminder. I'm sure all the Muslim brothers and sisters are practicing this, so it's just a reminder. And the Quran says, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind, because reminding benefits the believers. So the Quran talks about this. The definition of fasiqun. The Quran says fasiqun, the sinners. Who are those? يَقْتَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلْ. They break that which Allah has told and commanded to maintain. Maintaining of ties, having good relationships, healthy relationships. This is the category of mu'ashara. There's a hadith where the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving a definition of a believer. Who is a Muslim? Who is a mu'min? He said, well, there's two hadiths. There's many hadiths, but these two have just come into mind. One, he says, al-Muslim. In another one, he talks about mu'min. There's two terms. There's a technical difference, Muslim, mu'min, but that's for the students. But both terms, if you take the Muslim term, he said, who is a Muslim? Al-Muslimu man salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. Muslim is the one from whose hands and from whose tongue others are safe. And when it comes to mu'min, he said, who is a mu'min? Al-mu'minu ma'lafatun wa la khayra fi man la ya'laf wa la yu'laf. A mu'min is someone who is an abode of love. Someone who is a utensil, a fountain of love. Someone, when you look at that person, you love that person and that person loves you. Al-mu'minu ma'lafatun. He said it's a place. A mu'min is from whom love pours out. وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي مَنْ لَا يَأْلَفْ وَلَا يُؤْلَفْ. This is in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. There is no good in the one who does not love others. And because of that, others don't love him or her. Normally, when we don't love others, then others won't like us. And there's numerous texts. There's a hadith in Sahih Muslim where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created creation. When he was creating the creation, he created many things of the creation. Then he created this rahim, this tie itself. Now, what was the form of it? Allah knows best. But this is a sound Sahih hadith in Sahih Muslim. Inna Allah ta'ala khalaqa al-khalq. And he created the creation, hatta idha faragha minhu qamatil rahim. When he completed creating the creation, the rahim means the tie itself. You know, the family tie or the tie itself. Allah gave it a form. It stood up and spoke to Allah. And he said, oh Allah, you've created me. هذا مقام العائذ بك من الخطيئة. I want to take your refuge. This is a place now that I want to take your refuge from anyone violating me. So Allah spoke to the tie and said, okay, go ahead, what you want to say. So the tie itself said that, Allah said to the tie that, yes, granted, whoever will maintain you, I will maintain that person. Whoever will not maintain you, will break you, I will cut that person. أَقْطَعُ مَنْ قَطَعَكَ أَصِلُ مَنْ وَصَلَكَ وَأَقْطَعُ مَنْ قَطَعَكَ. So there's numerous texts in the Quran and Sunnah that talk about this. You know, one of the verses that when people get married, the Imam, when he recites the khutbah, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَأَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. Fear Allah from breaking ties. That's why the reminder is at the time of nikah, it's at the time of marriage. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَأَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. وَالْأَرْحَامِ is related to وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. Fear Allah from breaking ties. So we know this is very important. It's an extremely important part of our deen. Ibadat is one category, one chapter. Fasting, praying, zakat, hajj, umrah, dressing like a Muslim, hijab, niqab, covering. All of that is a quarter of Islam. If somebody prays, fasts, zakat, hajj, umrah, dhikr, tasbih, istighfar, qiyamul layl, tahajjud, and niqab, hijab, and dress, everything, but is neglectful in how they earn money and how they deal with others and how they akhlaq and mu'amalat and how their transaction and how their dealings and how their social interaction is with others. If they neglect that, then that person is a quarter Muslim, just one quarter, because they've only acted upon the ibadat, a quarter of Islam. And Allah tells us, enter into Islam fully. Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. A great deal of importance given on ensuring that we live a life where nobody is harmed from us. No human being, no animal, no nobody. But of course, there are times where it will happen, but what we should straight away seek forgiveness. But generally, a Muslim is someone who does not get involved in disputes, whether it's marital disputes. Especially it starts at home, because charity begins at home. Sometimes we are very well-mannered, very good-mannered when we are in the public. But at home, we are not. There's two reasons for that. One of the reasons is that because outside, it's a bit of a show. So when you come to the masjid, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, wa rahmatullah, smile, good, everyone. At home, there's no one to show off to. You've lived with your wife or your husband for 20 years. They know the ins and outs of our life. So then there's no one to show off to. Outside, there's a bit of show. And number two, the second reason why we're good outside and not at home is because the challenge is greater at home. The person we meet at the masjid, we meet him for 10 minutes. The colleague at the workplace, we spend 5 hours with him. But people at home, we are living with them 24 hours, 24/7. We live in the same house. You know, things are difficult. People do things, say things when feelings are hurt. So, greater test. It's a greater challenge. And the greater the challenge, the greater the reward. The greater the thawab, the greater the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For some people, and also, you know, this good character, Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah, he says, good character is actually acquired. You are born with it or you acquire it. He says some people are just born with it. Some people are just generally like the people of Trinidad. They are just generally calm, you know, they're cool, they're just born with it. Your challenge is small. For some people, they are born with anger. They are born with bad akhlaq, with bad character. The challenge, now that's not an excuse, because Allah gives everyone different challenges. Someone has the challenge of anger, but they may not have a challenge of something else, greed. Somebody has a challenge that they are very calm, they will never get angry, so it's easy for them to save themselves from the sin of rage and anger. But they might have some other sexual, lustful desires extremely high that is very difficult for them. The challenge is great for them to stay away from illicit relationships. Someone who may have the great challenge of illicit relationships, but maybe, you know, calm in the anger department. So everybody has different challenges. Allah has given everyone different challenges. So some people are generally born with a good character. Their challenge is small, but they have other challenges. But this is a definite test and challenge, ensuring that we live a life where we are not harming anybody. There are many reasons and causes, and I will mention these points now. That was just a small introduction in terms of what causes this solution, what causes some of the problems we find. Marital problems, family problems, disputes, conflict. Okay? There's a few, I'll sum these up. Number one of the reasons, and this I was mentioning earlier today, that in every faith, in every community, in every religion, they encourage people to have good manners, good character. Everyone in the world, you speak to a Muslim, a non-Muslim, a Hindu, or a Christian, or a Jew, or an atheist, it's an agreed upon, accepted fact of the world. Be well-mannered, ladies and gentle men. Be nice, be gentle, be kind, be considerate, be hospitable, be courteous, be cordial, be good towards people. This is generally accepted in the world. But there's a difference between Islam, the teachings of Islam, and the teachings and understandings of all the other communities. In the rest of the world, in all the communities, in all the religions, in all the faiths, you are good to others for their sake. You want to be good to the public, you want to be good to someone next to you, you want to be good to just human beings, kind to animals, because you want to be nice to them. In Islam, the difference is that the first and foremost consideration in Islam is we are supposed to show good character, good manners, and have good relations and good relationships with others, not even for the sake of others. That's the difference. It is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's for the pleasure of Allah. This is what we call ikhlas. This is what we call sincerity. This is a big difference. When I am good to my parents, yes, I want my parents to be happy, but that's secondary. The first objective, the first reason, my first maqsad or aim or goal or my first intention, my first aim is I want to please my God. My Lord has said, وَقَدَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Treat your parents honorably. When I am good to my children, don't be good to your children because you want to be good to them now so then they treat you well in your old age. You know, I saw a sticker once on a car. They said, treat your children well because they will be the ones who choose your old age resting homes when you're old. Some people say, let's look after them now. They will look after us in old age. Completely un-Islamic understanding. So the first cause of family disputes is we do it for the wrong reason. Our intentions are wrong. Our intentions are worldly. Whether they will reciprocate. If we are good to others, they'll be good to us. Or you want to make them happy. Or it's for some worldly aim and goal. Also, people think we're very, you know, gentle people, good people. Or I am good to my wife so that my wife cooks nice fish and biryani for me. Or I am good to my husband so that he buys me all the gifts. The intention is wrong. The solution is we must correct our intention. This is the first hadith of most hadith books. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Actions are by their intentions. We have to ensure our relationships are good for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not even for the person that we are being good to. It's not even for that person. It's got nothing to do with others. It's solely for the pleasure of Allah. This is the reason why we have many problems. Because what happens when we are good to others, we expect things in return. We demand it or we expect it. We call people for food. I call this person for my walima. He has to call me for his walima. When we look at who we need to call, those people, we have to call them. If we don't call them, they'll take it bad. The moment you do something where you think people will take it bad, all the rewards are gone out of the window. There's no thawab, there's no reward. Doing things so that people will say, you didn't even go to visit. We go to a janazah, funeral prayer, not because to show people. It's because a great act of ibadah. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, radiallahu anhu, one of the great imams of this ummah. Once there was a great scholar of his time, Bishr Hafi, a great pious individual who passed away in Baghdad, in Iraq. The whole world was going for his janazah prayer, one of the greatest sheikhs of the time. People are traveling from places, coming to offer and attend the janazah prayer. So the imam's student said to him, Sheikh, janazah today, remember? He said, actually, I don't feel like going. He got a shock. The whole world is traveling here and you are not going and everyone's going to wait for you. You will be the main person there. He said, actually, I'm trying my best. But I can't make my niyyah. I can't. The niyyah keeps on coming. That people will, if I don't go, people will say, if I go there, the intention is not becoming, it's not becoming sincere. People will say, Imam Ahmed went, I saw Imam Ahmed at the funeral, at the great, Imam Ahmed was there. He also attended. I'm trying for the past hour. I'm struggling with my nafs, with my soul. I am trying for the past hour. I just want to go for your sake, for Allah's sake. But it's still not happening. Until I don't get to that level, I'm not going to go. He was working for an hour on his intention. Everything we do in this world, nobody should know. You give with your right hand, your left hand shouldn't know. It's in the hadith. We give in charity, nobody should know. Between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are good to our parents, it's for the sake of Allah. Allah will reward us. We give somebody a gift. The hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Tahadu tahabbu. Exchange gifts. Give your mother a gift, give your father a gift, give your brother a gift, give your husband a gift, give your wife some flowers. Give gifts. Tahabbu. You will increase in love. But this is when the gift is for the sake of Allah, not because they will say thanks to us. One of the golden principles of being happy in this world, there's many principles, that's another topic. We can look at steps to being internally happy. That's another topic on its own. There's lots, like 10 different reasons. But one of those 10 things is not to expect anything from anyone in this world. If we make this a principle of our life, I don't expect anything from anyone. If I do something good to someone, I go and give a gift, I don't even expect they will say thank you or Jazakallah or even smile. If they smile, wow, bonus. I wasn't expecting the smile. Oh, he said thank you, Jazakallah. Oh, that's bonus, extra. I wasn't expecting it. If we don't expect anything from anyone, we will never be disappointed. Cut off all expectations from the creation. Build connections with expectations with the creator. There's a hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make a dua. Allahumma la taj'al fi qalbi raja'a. La taj'al. Allahumma ja'al fi qalbi raja'ak. Waqta' raja'i amman siwak. Oh Allah, cut off in my heart all the expectations with people besides you and make all my expectations with you. Ij'al fi qalbi raja'ak. All our expectations should be with Allah. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we lower our expectations, we cut off our expectations, we don't expect anything in return. We don't expect the mother-in-law to be good. We don't expect the daughter-in-law to come and cook 20 dishes of biryani. If she does, alhamdulillah, I wasn't expecting this. Wow, you cooked. You'll be happy. If she didn't cook, that's normal. I don't expect it anyway. If we live a life like that, most of our problems will be solved. Because our intention is to be good for the sake of Allah, not because we will get something in return. I speak to so many times, you know, some couples, the wife's calling, we have some problems in our marriage. I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this. But, you know, he's not doing. I said, you do this, do it for Allah, forget him. Likewise, the husband. Oh, you know, I take her this and I give her this, but look at her, she's not. I said, all your life you were just doing it for her. You have no reward. Of course, you can avoid an oppression and dhulm, and there's situations. It doesn't mean, you know, if someone's abusing you, you take the abuse. But small things, if your spouse, your husband, your wife is not giving you in return, then don't worry. All the rewards are in the akhirah. To the point that by sabr, the rewards, all of this, you will get in the akhirah. When we go in the akhirah, we'll probably think that I wish my husband or wife did not do anything for me by seeing the rewards. Because marriage is not a transaction. It's not a deal. You scratch my back, I scratch your back. You give me one biryani, I give you one hadiah, one gift. You do this, I do this. It's not a transaction. Parents and children is not a transaction. If you give me money, dad, I'll bring you some tea. If you do this, then I'll do this. It's not a transaction. It's actually in the hadith. There's a famous hadith. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلُ بِالْمُكَافِ وَلَكِنَّ الْوَاصِلُ الَّذِي إِذَا قُطِعَتْ رَحِمُهُ وَصَلَهَا. Famous hadith. The real maintainer of ties is not the one who, لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلُ بِالْمُكَافِ. Mukafi means the one who reciprocates. If someone's good to me and I am good to that person, no big deal. That's not the real maintainer of ties. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, the one who gives back to someone who was good, if you're good to someone who was good to you, then you are, there's no big deal. This is not silatul rahim. He said, وَلَكِنَّ الْوَاصِلُ الَّذِي إِذَا قُطِعَتْ رَحِيمُهُ وَصَلَهَا. The real maintainer of ties, the one who maintained ties, is the one when others cut him off, he maintains the ties for the sake of Allah. Because being good to someone who's good to us, that's normal. If we weren't even doing that, then we wouldn't even be human beings. So that's no big deal. If someone's good to me and I am good to them, that's okay. That's normal, average, no big deal. You haven't done anything yet. The real challenge is when someone doesn't talk to you, you still smile at them. This was the practice of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Numerous hadiths. He said, you know, to the companions, forgive the one who dhalamak, who oppresses you. Talk to someone who doesn't talk to you. Smile at others who don't smile at you. And generally, when we are good people, the other party will always feel guilty and they'll give in. They'll always feel guilty and give in. We should always be nice, be gentle for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do our duty in a nice way. Sometimes we do it, but in a like a sarcastic way. You know, yeah, I'm doing it, okay, let's see. No, with ikhlas, with sincerity, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We fulfill our right. If it's a husband-wife issue, forget about, as a husband, forget about my rights. What are my wife's rights? What are my responsibilities and what are my wife's rights? Forget what she has to do for me, what do I have to do for her? And if it's a wife, forget what my husband has to do for me, what do I have to do? If we live in this world where every person just learns about their responsibilities, concentrates on their responsibilities, what they have to do for others, and forgets what others have to do for them. If everyone does that, the whole world will be a better place today. So this is the attitude, ikhlas and sincerity. So the first point, because we have these marital disputes or family disputes, is because the intention is not clean. The intention is not sincere. The niyyah inside the heart, it's for an ulterior motive. It's for a worldly gain. It's for a worldly reason. It's for showing off sometimes. It's for some other objective of the world. The solution to that is maintain ties, whether it's with family members, with parents, with children, with spouses, with husband, with wife, with brothers, with sisters, siblings, relatives, cousins, fellow human beings, Muslims, non-Muslims, only and solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we call ikhlas. The Quran says, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. We have been ordered to make our religion sincere. When we are sincere, not just salah sincere, but even our relationships, our dealings have to be sincere for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, the second reason or cause for many of our disputes is that we have this attitude of being, and this is a human being nature, this is a human nature. The human nature is human being has been created as a very, very selfish being. We are the extended family of the animals, and I'm not talking about, I don't believe in evolution, by the way, I just said that, extended family, but we share some things with the animals. We do share. That's why sometimes when the way some human beings act, we get to the animal level. If you've been, and I'm sure you see a lot of animals here, you know, if you go to a pond where you have ducks or some animals, take a bread and just throw it, you know, to some ducks or some animals or some birds, throw some chapati, roti as you call it, or some bread. Have you seen the animals fighting? They fight, literally animals fight. We say, look at these greedy animals, you know, there's a big swan. I took my, you know, family, and I was telling, I said, look, you know, I have a son and a daughter. I said to them, you know, because the son is 5 years old and daughter is 2 years old, so sometimes he's a bit, you know, nasty and being selfish, and, you know, he's always, they're not sharing. So I took them to the, zoo place, and I saw a small farm place, and there were two goats. There was a big goat and a small goat, a brother and a sister, and we were throwing some chapatis, and the big one was not letting the small one eat. Every time comes, drives the other one away. I said, look, this is what you do. That's you and that's her. If you be selfish, do you want to be a goat? He goes, oh yeah, this is so bad. He goes, is he not letting the small sister eat? I said, no, selfish. So every time, since that day he came home, when he grabs the packet of crisps, are you the goat, selfish? Oh, no, I'm not. Here. He gives it to the sister. I always remind him, don't be the goat. This is a human animal characteristics. Sometimes some animals are more human than human beings, and sometimes some humans are more animal than animals. These are animalistic traits. We laugh at animals sometimes, but you know what? The only reason sometimes we don't do that is because we have law and order. And we have a bit of wealth and law and order. You know, if suddenly a coup takes place or something takes place, have you seen people, what they do? They loot and they just kill. Human beings used to eat each other. Animals eat each other. We human beings would start eating each other. They would do. If there's poverty, if we lose everything, literally human beings will be eating each other. They would be doing that. We've just become a bit civilized. That's why when law and order goes, there's no police, there's no law and order, then human beings, they are each other's throats. We'll kill each other. We don't care about anyone. This is the human nature which we share with animals, being selfish, being self-centered. Islam came to eradicate this nature of the human being. This is a spiritual disease of being selfish. This is why Islam says, teach your children from a young age. When they are young, instill deep into the hearts of the children the quality which is opposite of this. Being selfish is the cause of problems. The opposite of that is what we call in the Quranic language, ithar. Ithar is being what? Selfless. Selfishness and selflessness. Being selfless. Giving priority to others. The definition of selflessness and ithar is sacrificing your own interest, going through a bit of hardship yourself for the sake of others. The Quran says about the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةٌ. They give preference to others even if they have to remain hungry. This ayah was revealed after, you may know the story, that once a guest came to Medina al-Munawwara to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, who will entertain this guest? A Ansari Sahabi stood up and he said, أَنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, me, O Messenger of Allah. He didn't even ask his wife, he just went, you know. Normally you should ask phone, yeah, because we go home and you say, I've brought a guest. Normally the etiquette is, at least call your wife, like, you know, someone's going to come. Just don't go with 20 people, yeah, come on, take the food out. But the thing was that at that time there was no need. That Sahabi didn't need to phone his wife. Well, there wasn't any phones, but he never had to give any message. Why? Because life was simple. Again, back to the first point, there were no expectations. There was no, like, if you fed someone, you fed them, you know, basic food from the heart. That's it. We don't have to, we feed, we bring 10 dishes, but we complain 20 times. I don't know why they had to come at this time. You know, oh no, it's, we sometimes put a lot of dishes on the table so that, you know, they'll talk bad about us, like, oh, this is the only thing they can feed. Feed, if you can't feed and give a lot of dishes, alhamdulillah, for the sake of Allah. But they had no, the Sahaba had no formalities. Whatever's in the heart is on the tongue. Nothing, no problem. This is my house. I've got 2 dates here. Bismillah, I'll feed you in your mouth for the sake of Allah. You eat it, you go, that's it. No formalities. So he took the companion home. The wife said, you know what? There's no food. There's only one person's food. The children. He said, just make the children go to sleep. Just boil, just some, pretend that something's being warm and they'll fall asleep. The children went to sleep. The wife didn't eat. The husband didn't eat. And he told the guest, sit down. And on the food spread, he brought the food in front of the guest. And then that there was a lamp. So he pretended, because there's only one person can eat, he can't eat. So as soon as they were starting eating, he just like, he hit the lamp. I said, oh no, lamp's gone out. Oh, there's no lights now. Okay, we'll have to eat in the dark. And in the dark, he just pretended, you know, he's just pretending he's eating. Oh, eat. The guest is eating, relaxing. He thinks the host is eating, but the host is not eating. He's just pretending in the dark. He's doing a good act and the person does not even know. This is another issue. Going back to the first point. When we are good, the host must, you know what? I didn't eat for you today. Remember that. Today, my whole family sacrificed their food. I love you, you know? See how much I do for you. Again, not for the sake of Allah. Going back to the first point. Here, the companion did not even let the guest know and realize and pretended that he was eating. Nobody knew, but Allah never kept it secret. Allah revealed a verse in the Quran. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةٌ. These companions, their quality is such that even if they remain hungry, they will give preference to others. They will stay hungry for the sake of others. They'll feed others for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the quality, ithar. Build this quality. We need to bring this quality in ourselves. Ithar, giving preference to others. The hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, numerous hadiths talk about this. He says that لا يؤمن أحدكم. Again, you can't be a person cannot be a complete believer حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه, until he does not like for his brother what he likes for himself. And you can include sisters here as well. And another hadith, he said أحب للناس ما تحب لنفسك. In this first hadith, he said, you don't love for your brother. Somebody might think this is just for Muslims. In this other hadith, in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, he said, أحب للناس, love for people. No restriction of Muslim, non-Muslim. Love for people, for humanity, what you like for yourself. Which includes, you want iman for you, you want iman for others as well. You want eternal bliss and paradise and Jannah, you want eternal bliss and paradise for your fellow, you know, Trinidadians, if you, I don't know what you say, but for the fellow people. This is the hadith. Wanting, always putting people before us. This can go on and on. This is a very important aspect. You know, to put in every relationship, putting ourselves in the shoes of the others. How would I like to be treated? That's how the other person likes to be treated. In every relationship. Take every relationship, parents, children, but the problem is we are selfish. When we are children, we don't know we don't know how he feels because we're not parents yet. But the only thing that matters to us is being a son or a daughter. It's like my rights, and why is my dad like this, and why does my mother doesn't understand, and they're backward, and they don't understand. Oh, young man, young woman, You're going to be married soon and you will have children. Then you think, okay, kids nowadays, look at them, they don't even... When you become parents, the only rights that matters is parents' rights. When we are children, we only live in the children world. When you're an employer, you forget you are an employee one day. When you become an employee, when you're an employee, then you forget how it feels to be an employer. When you're a landlord, you forgot you used to rent and you were a tenant. But when you're a tenant, you don't know what the landlord feels like. Everyone's in their own area. The Islam is saying when you're a landlord, for one moment, go on the other side. I nearly fell down. Go on the other side and pretend. Think, if I was a tenant, how would I feel? How would I want my landlord to treat me? If you're a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law, mother-in-law forgets what it felt like being a daughter-in-law. Oh, mother-in-law, you know what? 25 years ago, you were a daughter-in-law. That time, the only thing that mattered to you were the rights of daughter-in-laws. Today, you've become a mother-in-law. You don't know what a daughter-in-law... It's like a different species. Daughter-in-law? What is that? Is that some jinn or something? It's just the only thing in the world now matters is being a mother-in-law. And the daughter-in-law, yes, today you're a daughter-in-law. You've got a two-year-old baby. Within 10, 15 years, that boy is going to grow up and is going to get married and is going to bring a daughter-in-law. Then you'll become a mother-in-law. Yeah, and then only you'll change, you'll switch. This is the problem, selfishness. Everybody lives in their own bubble, in their own. When someone's ill, they think they're the only person they're ill. Then nobody else, you know, only my illness matters. When we have a problem, then this is the biggest problem on planet Earth. Everyone has issues. We need to think about others. There was a lady that once, she had a small stomach problem. They took her to the hospital, and she was complaining, my stomach's hurting, my stomach's hurting. Somebody, when they were taking her in the lift, they suddenly saw a patient that was burnt from head to toe. Somebody said, auntie, look, she's burnt. Sabar, inshallah. Look, you only got stomach pain. She looked, goes, yeah, he's burnt, but he hasn't got the stomach pain. Because this is bigger than that, because for her, only that matters. This is human nature. And this is why Islam says, we need to build this ithar, this selflessness, this quality of giving preference to others, putting ourselves in the shoes of the others, for a moment becoming a teacher, thinking to, like, if I was a student, go on the other side. If you're a student, for one moment, put yourself in the shoes of the teacher, mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, husband in the shoes of the wife. How do I want to be treated? Every relationship, put yourself on the other side. Give preference to others. Take some sacrifice. Number three, so that was the second reason. Number three, I've got three, four. I'm just going to quickly, inshallah, conclude. The third reason is actually a very important reason, and which is not really a fault, but it's not a fault of human beings, but it's natural. You remember first two. First two is, the first one was incorrect intention, so we need to make correct intentions. I'm going to ask you at the end with a test. And number two, the second reason is we are selfish and we have this selfish nature. We need to build and create ithar, the quality of selflessness and sacrificing for the others and wanting others for others what we want for ourselves. Two. Number three is not a bad quality, but it's like something we have been created with. Because all human beings have been created differently, the way we all think, the way we all understand things, the way we look at things, the way we understand, think, reflect, and act and deal with things is different. Every human being is created differently. You know, the way we look, any two people look exactly similar, even twins don't look same really. Everyone, Allah's physically made them different. Even our fingerprints, that's why they take fingerprints, even the lines, fingerprints you take, different. My fingerprint is different from your fingerprint. Our brains are different. Everyone thinks differently. Everyone's temperament is different. Everyone's nature is different. When people are different, then it's given, it's without doubt that people will do things which we won't do, we won't like. People living in our family, my wife might do something that doesn't, I don't feel right, I don't like it. My husband might do something that I don't like, my brother or my sister. This is mentioned in the hadith of Sunan al-Tirmidhi. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Al-Muslimu alladhi yukhalitu an-nas wa la yasbir ala adahum. Yasbir ala adahum. Khayrun min al-Muslimi alladhi la yukhalitu an-nas wa la yasbir ala adahum. The hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is telling us, it's a sound hadith, that by living with others, it's natural that your feelings will be hurt. It's impossible to live with people and feelings not be hurt. That's not possible. Because you are different. Especially, like I was saying earlier today, that in marriage, it's a different gender. Men and women are completely different. Men think differently. Women think differently. Men are, their temperament is different. Women's temperament is different. Psychologically, mentally, emotionally, men and women are different. Read the book, Men from Mars, Women from Venus. Different, there's a book. You know, men and women are different. Women are emotional, they're more gentle, they're more fragile, you know, they are sensitive, and that's a beauty of a woman. A man is more, he likes to take control of the situation. He likes to take the lead. That's why the Quran made the husband qiwam. الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Made him the Amir of the household. And has, so they are different people. That's why one of the problems in marriage is men forget that they are married women, and women forget that they've married men. Women think their husband is just like another woman that you can talk to 3 hours and, you know, cry about it and is going to listen. No, no, a woman will do that, but a man will not be able to do that. And a man thinks what? That my wife is like just my mate that I used to, before being married and as a bachelor, until 2 a.m. hang around and just, you know, relax. And this is a different species, not a different species, different gender. This is a woman, difference. First of all, you are two different human beings, but then even your genders are different. The way women do things are differently from men. So this difference has been mentioned in the hadith, and numerous hadiths, that when you do live with people, without a doubt, it's given that people will say things, do things, act in ways which will not please you. Feelings will be hurt. So what is the solution? One solution is just go and live in isolation. Don't get married, don't have family, nothing. Go in the cave on the mountain and just go into one island next to Trinidad. I don't know if nobody lives in the middle. Just live there and in the forest. You know what? Nobody hurts my feelings and I'm not bad to anybody. Well, the trees are there. Good luck, you know, be nice to the trees. You can do that. That's one solution. The hadith of Sunan al-Tirmidhi is saying that the real solution, if you're living with people, is sabr, patience. That's it, sabr. That's why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, a Muslim who lives with people, mixes in, intermingles, interacts, and because of living with people, your feelings are hurt, and you do sabr, you have patience, that believer, that Muslim man or woman is better than that one who goes in an island and remote place and doesn't live with anyone, therefore nobody's to hurt their feelings and they don't have to do sabr. It's take the challenge, live with people. That's what the hadith is saying. Sabr is the only solution and one of the greatest acts of ibadah, one of the greatest qualities, one of the greatest things in Islam is sabr. That's why the hadith, the Quranic ayah, there's rewards given, you know, if you pray this, you get this reward, if you do this, you get this reward for this ibadah, this reward. About sabr, the Quran says, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. The ones who do sabr, their ajr is without any limit. Allah says, I can't even put a limit, like I can't even tell you how much reward there is. Because it's one of the most difficult things to do. Anger, when someone has anger, rage, some husbands and men have like extreme anger. Sabr, controlling, exercising sabr and patience, it's a real good quality. We need to work at this. May Allah grant us this sabr, patience. Because if we react, if someone does something and our feelings are hurt, we retaliate, we argue, we fight back, they argue, we fight, it just carries on and on and on. Do you want a life like that of misery, of arguing? The other is just for the sake of Allah, just take it in from one ear and out from the same ear. Okay, inside out. It's okay, no problem. It's just a human being. What's happening? There's nothing happened to me. Someone said something, who cares? Life is too short. Life is too short for problems. Seriously, if we become, try to make that attitude, you know, don't become too sensitive. I know sisters are a bit more sensitive than men, but just try your best. When people do say things, try not to be too sensitive. Someone did something, that's it. Now for 1 week we're depressed. Why did they use that word? Why? What they're thinking about me? What they're saying? Why? You know, who cares? They said it. If someone says something bad about you, it doesn't make us bad. And if we're not good and someone praises us, all the praise of the world will not make us good if Allah doesn't think we're good. And all the slander in the world will not make us bad if Allah thinks we're good. It's between us and Allah. That's the real relationship that matters. You know, the day we make this habit in our life, that we don't worry about what others think about us, and seriously, I'm telling you this is a real important point. I've been trying to, working on this for many, many, many years. And honestly, I've seen a massive difference in my life for about 10 years now. Live in a way that what people say, think, just does not matter. Who cares? I just don't. Someone comes and says, someone, oh, they really, really praised you. No big deal. What, it's written, it's gone in the air. They praised you. MashaAllah, you're amazing, you're amazing. It's like, what, I recorded it, keep on listening. You're amazing, you're amazing, you're amazing. Take the pleasure, you know, you're amazing. If somebody said, you're good, it's gone in the air, wind, where is it written in the clouds, what? Imagine you go in the grave, everyone praises you, and then the angels come and start, you know, beating you. Look, those guys said, you're amazing. Is that how amazing? There's actually a hadith. I can't recall the reference. I heard it from somebody, but I need to check the reference of this hadith. But I heard it from a very reliable scholar. He mentioned in one of his talks that actually there's a hadith where when a person, a chief of a community, everyone used to praise him. He goes into the grave, may Allah protect us. And people, as soon as they bury him, they say, MashaAllah, this was a very generous man. He was a chief, he was a chaudhry, he was this. MashaAllah, people are talking and the angels are beating him. When they say, look, he was a very good guy. They give him one more. Are you that good person? And they say, oh, MashaAllah, the guy spent so much money and generous, beat him again. It's a hadith, may Allah protect us. So what people think doesn't matter. Just make that in life. So that was the third point. Quickly, four, just one last point. So sabr, because we are all different. Lastly, one very important point or reason for family disputes and the solution. There's many, but this is one of them. Well, I'll mention this fourth one and five just quickly. One of the reasons is tongue. People, the way they use the tongue, it's very important. Islam places a lot of emphasis to control the tongue. The cause of family problems and marital disputes is the unrestricted usage of the tongue. We open our tongue how we want, whenever we want, riba, backbiting, tailbearing, swearing, slandering, in any way, shape, or form. The Quran says every word that comes out, that we take out from our mouth, مَا يَلْفُظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Being recorded, we'll have to justify this word, this letter, this statement in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The tone we use, if we shout at our wife, if a husband is shouting, Allah will ask us, why did you shout at your wife? Did she deserve to be shouted? We're swearing, slandering, nagging at the husband, cursing the husband. Every letter Allah will question. The sins of the tongue, I can do a two-hour talk on just sins of the tongue, each one of them we go through. It's a major area of Islam. Preserving and protecting the tongue, it's one of the most important obligations. I will end with this, that some of the early scholars like Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, he used to, you know when people used to come to talk to him, he used to look down for a few moments and then he used to contemplate and then give an answer. Somebody asked him, oh Imam, why do you do that? When some people come and talk to you, why do you look down for a few seconds, for half a minute, 1 minute, and then you reply? He said, حَتَّى أَعْرِفَ أَنَّ الْخَيْرَ فِي الْكَلَامِ أَوْ فِي السُّكُوتِ. What I do is I think to myself whether it's better to talk or it's better to remain quiet. And if I talk, what shall I talk? What shall I say? What letter should I use? What word should come out from my mouth? What tone should I use? How will I not hurt the feelings of the other person? Everything I think, meditate, and then I speak. That's why they say the intelligent person is who thinks, then speaks. The foolish one is who speaks and then thinks, oh, should I have said this? Oh no, what now? You know, that's the foolish person. So controlling of the tongue. Last point, number five, one of the main reasons of family disputes is money issues, money issues. Money matters. One of the biggest problems, Islam places a lot of emphasis on money matters. One of the biggest aspects in money matters is Islam says, clarify your transactions. Clarify. Ownership, clarify. Everything should be clear. The way you deal should be clear. Everything should be written, recorded. Even if it's a family business, the father has a business. The son studies and comes back, joins in the business. What capacity is he joining this business? Nobody asks, nobody says, nobody clarifies. If someone says, what's the story here? This is a family, you know, in family you don't talk about these things. Okay, no problem, family. Then the second son comes, people in the same family, is he working, is he employed, does he have a share in the business, is he just freely, voluntarily helping the father? Nothing's clarified. The second one comes, someone gets married, somebody takes more money out of the business, the first one takes less money, the third one gets married. And then what happens? 30 years afterwards, I have had hundreds of cases to the point that people are ready to kill one another. Brothers are ready to kill one another because nothing was clarified when they were young. The father's passed away, inheritance issues, people fight. Brothers and sisters don't talk. People don't talk for years because of inheritance issues. Nothing is clear. Islam says, clarify everything. If you have, you've built a house together, who's paid how much? Who's got what share? You have a family business. Each son, is he a partner in the business? What share, percentage? The father has 50%, okay. 20% one son, 20% the other son. Whatever, clarify. Does he have a share in the business, or is he helping voluntarily, free? Or is he employed? If he's employed, what are his wages? Fix his monthly salary. And then if he takes out, write it down. This is the salary or money you've taken from the business. You're taking a loan. You're going to pay this back because it's not only you. You have another brother. You have another brother. You have a sister. All monetary transactions. There's a saying. It's not a hadith. Some people have quoted it as a hadith, but as far as I know, it's not a hadith, but it's a saying of one of the sahabis. It's like a very famous statement, and it's a qa'idah, principle. Ta'asharu kal ikhwan wa ta'amalu kal ajanib. Ta'asharu kal ikhwan. Live like brothers and sisters, transact like strangers. Live like brothers and sisters, transact like strangers. Even if your brother is taking $10 from you, write it down. My brother has taken this, he said he will pay it at this, sign it. The Quran says write it down. Everything clear. The day if you die, people know everything's written, who owes you how much and how much you owe others. This will really solve problems, because monetary issues, money issues, causes a lot of problems in life, and many, many disputes take place because of money issues. So these were just few random 5 points, inshallah. May Allah grant us a tawfiq, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Sorry, I don't know how much time I went above, but it's, inshallah, beneficial. Assalamu alaikum.